am presenting the, hopefully for the last time, a portion of my dissertation on the potential for selection and misclassification bias when sampling men who have sex with men in gay bars. And just to give you a very brief bit of background, because I'm sure most of you have heard a lot of this before, the majority of cases of HIV among MSM have been attributed to unprotected anal intercourse, which is the riskiest sexual behavior, but obviously still less risky than injection drug use. And there's been very consistent evidence that men who are younger, have less formal education, are HIV positive, self-identify as gay, have multiple sexual partners, and use alcohol and illicit injection and non-injection drugs are more likely to engage in UAI. However, the evidence concerning the relationship between race, ethnicity, and UAI is very inconsistent. And most of the studies that have led to these conclusions used venue-based sampling to enroll participants. And the most common venue where studies have enrolled MSM are in gay bars. However, most of the articles describing these studies really don't actually describe the gay bars where they enroll participants. They just say, we enrolled men in 5 gay bars, or they may occasionally give a time of day or day of the week when participants were enrolled. And one of the reasons why it's very important to look at these gay bars is because HIV research and prevention activities are often conducted in gay bars. There have been some differences between gay bars that have been described qualitatively, but they've very rarely been quantified. And in the literature, gay bars are typically treated as sort of a homogenous group of venues, when that really is not the case. Some of the qualitative literature that's out there has identified 4 types of gay bars, and there's a 5th in my study. The first is cruising bars, which are patronized by MSM who are looking for sexual partners. Hustler bars, which are frequented by commercial sex workers and also men looking to pay for sex. Mixed bars, which are known for having heterosexual clients but also being very gay friendly. And sort of the traditional gay bars that are frequented more for socialization than sex seeking. And these are probably some of, at least in my study, were the most common type. So in my study, I wanted to describe the variation between gay bars and look at the potential impact that this variation had on sociodemographic characteristics of my sample and also on the estimated prevalence of UAI. I used some data that some of you are probably familiar with, the HIV testing survey, and I only used the upstate New York data, and also a sort of subsequent cross-sectional study that was conducted in 4 cities in upstate New York. The HIT sample only enrolled participants in gay bars, and the second study enrolled participants in gay bars in 2 cities, and included some alternative venues in Syracuse and Albany, but since this portion of my dissertation only looked at gay bars, I excluded those participants. There was a fairly long and intense anonymous face-to-face interview. The survey was probably a 1/4 inch thick, single-sided, and participants were reimbursed with a $20 money order for their participation. And considering the length of the survey and the very sort of detailed, sensitive nature of the questions, the response rate was fairly high. And I'll go into in more detail later. I also conducted a small survey of the gay bar interviewers. And both of these studies were supported by grants from CDC. The HITS and HTAPS eligibility criteria were that participants had to be at least 18 years old, reside in New York, be capable of giving informed consent, so when they were in the bars, they didn't approach people who were obviously intoxicated, and they had to speak English. We did not conduct Spanish interviews in the bars. For my analysis, I included only the male participants because we did get a very small sample of transgender individuals, and I actually, the second bullet is wrong. That's left over from a different portion of the analysis. I only included men who were interviewed in a hustler bar, cruising bar, or traditional gay bar. They had to have had sex with a man in the past year or self-identified as gay or bisexual and completed the questions used to analyze the questions used to assess condom use during anal intercourse with male partners. I contacted the interviewers who conducted the survey in the gay bars and asked them a very open-ended questionnaire about the types of patrons of the bar, the typical patrons of the bars, whether they felt there were a lot of men there looking to exchange sex for money or drugs and things like that. And these interviewers were very familiar with these bar settings because a lot of them also conducted outreach there. And I also asked them about prevention activities in the bars during the time when we were conducting the actual HIT and HTAP studies, because I conducted this small survey a little bit later, quite a bit later for the HIT study. So most of the bars in my sample were traditional gay bars, and there were a few mixed, and I had to combine the cruising and hustler bars into sort of a category of bars where men go to look for sex, either paid or unpaid. And because of the open-ended nature of the survey, the interviewers did identify one additional type of gay bar which was not in the literature, which was a drag bar. And for those of you who don't know, that means it was frequented by male or female impersonators. And I had to exclude that due to the fact that there was only one bar and also the small number of participants. So I'm only presenting a small portion of the analysis. So the variables I included here are unprotected anal intercourse with male partners in the past 12 months, and then the covariates in this portion of the analysis are age, race, ethnicity, self-identified sexual orientation, and self-identified HIV status. I did the typical univariate and bivariable analyses. And then for my multivariable, I conducted a Poisson regression because, as you'll see from my data, UAI was a very, very common outcome, and I didn't want to do logistic to get over estimates of the prevalence risk ratio. All of the multivariable models included type of bar, age, race, ethnicity, self-reported HIV status, and self-reported sexual orientation. The sample was fairly young. I believe the median age was around 33, about 50% non-Hispanic white, fairly well educated. Only about 12% were HIV positive. However, 18% had never been tested, which is a little bit of a concern. And the majority self-identified as gay. And as you can see, there was a definite difference between the patrons of the different bars. Overall, the men in the mixed bars were younger and more likely to be Hispanic compared to men in the traditional gay bars and the cruising bars. In addition, they were less likely to be HIV positive, and as you can expect, were less likely to self-identify as gay. This seems like a little bit of common sense, but I just wanted to validate essentially common sense to a certain extent. And I found that the estimated prevalence of UAI was higher in the bars where men were specifically going to seek sexual partners. And not only was there difference between the types of gay bars, but even within the types of gay bars, there was variation between individual gay bars. And the numbers running across the x-axis are the number of men interviewed in each bar. So some of these estimates are very unstable. But even with that, you can see that although the cruising and hustler bars were overall higher risk, there are still higher risk sort of traditional gay bars and mixed bars. I asked the bar interviewers about HIV prevention activities in the bars during the time when we were conducting the study, and found that about one-third had HIV testing either on-site or in a mobile unit outside, and most provided some kind of HIV prevention literature or posters. Most had outreach on-site, primarily through the interviewers we were using, and the majority distributed condoms. And the estimated prevalence, the variation in the estimated prevalence of UAI differed based on HIV prevention activities in the bars, but this was very inconsistent, and it's really impossible to establish the temporal sequence here. And I did find that younger MSM and MSM who are HIV negative were more likely to engage in UAI than other MSM. So when I put all of this in my lovely little Poisson regression, I found that even after adjusting for age, race, ethnicity, HIV status, and sexual orientation, men in the cruising and hustler bars were still more likely to engage in UAI than men in the mixed and traditional gay bars. And I replicated all my analysis for both receptive and insertive UAI, in case anybody's interested. But for the purposes of the presentation, I'm concentrating on the overall. So just to summarize, if you remember probably one of the first results slides I showed, the majority of the men in my sample did engage in at least one act of unprotected anal intercourse within the 12 months prior to the survey. So after, two decades into the HIV epidemic, there's still a fairly high prevalence of UAI among MSM. And this is despite the availability of HIV prevention messages in the specific venues where men were sampled. I found variation in the estimated prevalence of UAI not only between types of gay bars, but also between bars of the same type. And I think it's very important that researchers start to collect contextual information about the bars where they're sampling MSM and also report these so that there can be a little bit more explanation of the methods in the literature, because that could potentially explain some of the variation in the research findings. So this was the first study, at least that I found, that actually quantified variation between MSM and different types of gay bars, and we did have a fairly high response rate, which was shocking given the length of the survey. Unfortunately, we had to make a few assumptions, one of which was that men's attendance at the venue they were interviewed is typical of their venue attendance, which may not necessarily be true. And because it was a cross-sectional study, I could not establish temporality, especially with regards to the availability of HIV prevention activities in the bars and men's sexual behavior. And I wanted to actually conduct some stratified analysis, but it was rather difficult given the small number of men in some of the bars. I'm actually gonna skip over that, I'm not sure about the time. And since my dissertation, since I finished my dissertation, I moved on, so here's my updated contact information in case anybody has any questions.